It's time for Northwestern Outdoors Radio, the show focusing on fishing, hunting, outdoor recreation, destinations, and conservation in the region where you live and play. Northwestern Outdoors is brought to you by Max Lure Company, Sportsman's Warehouse, and Wallowa County. And now, let's see what's going on in the field and on the water with your host, John Cruz.
It's Memorial Day weekend, the unofficial start of summer and the camping and boating season, but with the COVID pandemic, more people have been camping and boating than ever. As a matter of fact, you'll be hard-pressed to find many new boats or RVs on dealers' lots right now because demand for both are through the roof. As for camping, that season started earlier than ever this year. I was seeing full campgrounds at state parks as early as the first weekend of April, and that is unheard of. In addition to all this fun, Memorial Day is also about remembering those we lost serving our nation and our armed forces. And to all of you who have felt the pain of that sacrifice through the loss of a loved one, I can only say you have not only my gratitude, but also the gratitude of a grateful nation. This week on Northwestern Outdoors Radio, we'll be talking to our old friend Chad Calder. He's the owner of Chad's Coastwide Sports Fishing out of Port Hardy on Vancouver Island in British Columbia. The border between Canada and America remains closed to non-essential travel. That includes us recreational anglers, but it's likely going to open up this summer, and the fishing should be fantastic for salmon, halibut, and lingcod. Chad has got a risk-free deal for you if you want to book a trip with him that you'll definitely want to hear about. Bob Loomis with Max Lure is back for another really, really extended Max Minute, and we'll be talking about the effectiveness of one of the most simple lures out there, the jig. After that, we'll get on the phone with Sarah Dorenzo. She's the Public Information Officer for Wyoming Game and Fish. She's got a news roundup from the Cowboy State covering everything from fishing to newborn animals to a really unique species of turtle, and, of course, wolves. Last but not least, we'll get a chance to chat with Adam Sawyer. He's the man behind a number of hiking books, and he's got a brand new one out through Falcon Guides called Best Easy Day Hikes Salem and Eugene. Yes, this one's for you, you faithful KPNW 1120 listeners out of Eugene. Adam is a great guest, and he's got some wonderful suggestions about where to stretch your legs and enjoy nature in the lower Willamette Valley. As always, we've also got your Sportsman's Warehouse Trivia Question of the Week at the end of the program, where you get the chance to win that $25 gift card we give away every week from America's Premier Outfitter. And I should also note that they have an incredible Memorial Day sale going on, and this might be a great weekend to stop in a Sportsman's Warehouse store near you. Before we get into all of this, though, it's time to check in with David Sparks, the host of Sportsman Spotlight. This week, he's talking to recurring guest Josh Mills, who has a new job with Backcountry Hunters and Anglers. And the topic? That would be the annual Backcountry Hunters and Anglers Rendezvous coming up this week. And yes, you still have time to attend, and you're invited to do so.
Josh Mills talks about a rendezvous you're going to want to attend. David Sparks, Sportsman Spotlight.
The plans are officially all coming together for the 2021 edition of the Backcountry Hunters and Anglers Rendezvous in Missoula at Fort Missoula. It's June 3, 4, 5. It's going to be Thursday, Friday, and Saturday upcoming. And tickets are still available. Go to backcountryhunters.org. You can sign up there for a multitude of things. It's going to be all outside. Got a lot of distance. Got a lot of space. We're going to camp out. There's a couple of different campgrounds. It's like 40 plus vendors. We have a whole bison breakdown where they're going to show with participation of some of the tribes coming in, showing a full bison breakdown, which will then be turned into a meal for a lot of the BAHA rendezvous attendees. And there's just so much going on. We've got experts galore, some of the biggest names in hunting and fishing and conservation, and it's all under one big tent at Fort Missoula. So for more information, get over to backcountryhunters.org and you'll see a tab for Rendezvous 2021. And you can see everything we're about. Bunch of different things that you can select and also take a peek at if you want to come in person. Then, if you just can't come and you're not quite ready to join in-person events, maybe you just can't get there. We're also going to have a virtual experience where we're going to have different film crews running around showcasing different elements, broadcasting the seminars and the panels, as well as the storytellers event, which is our capstone event.
Backcountryhunters.org. David Sparks, Sportsman Spotlight.
Are you looking to reel in the marketing opportunity of a lifetime? Then set the hook, because we've got it right here for you. America Outdoors Radio has sponsorships available, and we offer affordable platforms to reach thousands of listeners interested in fishing, hunting, and the outdoors. Find out more by contacting John Cruz through his website at AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com.
You've probably been told that to reach a millennial farmer, you have to go digital. Facebook, Vimeo, YouTube, Instagram, Pinterest, LinkedIn, an online publication, or maybe a podcast. But which one? Oh, and how receptive is this age group to your sales pitch during non-work social time? Maybe the best place to reach a farmer with a farming solution message is when they are, well, quite frankly, farming. You know, it's easy for us to find them during the day, as most farmers are behind the wheel of a pickup truck or farm equipment with the radio on, listening to this station for the Ag Information Network of the West News. If you'd like to deliver information about your terrific product or service, give us a call and we'll connect you directly with our community of loyal farmer listeners. Reach real farmers right here, right now, as they listen to what is important to their farm operation. They trust us. They'll trust you.
Welcome back to Northwestern Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. We've got Chad Calder on the line. He is the owner of Chad's Coastwide Sports Fishing, based in Port Hardy at the north end of Vancouver Island. Chad, it is great to have you back on the show.
Well, it's great to be here, John. It's good to be able to talk about what's going to be happening and what we can do for 2021.
Well, I know the border between Canada and the U.S. is not going to open up for non-essential travel until at least June 21st, but things are starting to look good in terms of vaccination rates and everything else. I anticipate we are going to be able to get north of the border this summer. And if people want to book a trip with you, I'm sure there's a lot of pent-up demand, but how do they do it without taking a risk with their money in case things don't open up?
Yeah, it's a good question, John. And so first of all, we are open for 2021. We're not even a reduced fleet per se. It's the same limits as it has been in the past, except we gained an extra lingcod and our halibut size is a little bit bigger this year. Now, with regards to your question about the border, what we're doing now is only taking bookings for July and August for U.S. clients. We're taking the same deposit we did before, but it's 100% refundable if the border does not open. So it's sort of a risk-reward at that point. There's no risk to the clients if they want to book, because they can just have their money back or roll their deposits and guarantee themselves a spot for 2022, or they can simply ask for their deposits back. We're going to know more or less that third week of June what's going to happen with the border. So we have been taking bookings, quite a few of them, for people that want to book in sort of later July, mid-July, even August. And I think the confidence level of the border opening is there. So people are happy to put down the minimum deposit and just wait and see.
Well, let's talk about how you expect the fishing to be this season. Now, if you're not paying a lot of attention, you're hearing some really bad news about the south end of Vancouver Island, where salmon, Chinook salmon fishing, from what I understand, is not allowed at all. No retention. Completely different ball game up at the north end of Vancouver Island where you're at, isn't it?
Yeah, that's correct, John. So we fish area 11 and 10. About 90 to 95% of our fishery comes out of those two areas. And those are still two Chinook a day and four in possession. So our limits, for the most part, for all of our operation haven't changed. We're completely opposite of the south. The south is closed for Fraser River stock to consider until July 15th. And at that point, they will be open to some sort of retention, but the Department of Fisheries and Oceans hasn't made any concrete decisions on that yet. But nothing has changed in our area, and we're ready to go.
Let's talk a little bit about your operation, because it's very unique compared to the typical lodge operation that you see in British Columbia or Alaska. You don't work through a lodge, which I think is really smart because you don't have the overhead. Let's talk about how your trips work. If somebody books a three-day fishing trip or a four-day fishing trip with you, they're going to drive up to Port Hardy. And once they get there, what happens?
Well, you check into the Glenline Inn. The rooms are all booked. We block off a section of rooms all summer for our clients. So we run 3- and 4-day all-inclusive packages. So when you check into Port Hardy, it's just one payment. And we do, everything's included. So we do dine out all-inclusive, which is also something that most people really love. So there's a bunch of different pubs and restaurants in town, and you just go to either one of them, take your diner's card, and pick whatever you want off of any of the menus, and it all gets billed to us. Of course, it's all guided fishing. Everything's included. The accommodations is included, and we include all the custom processing and packaging of all your fish. So that's kind of it in a nutshell.
It's it in a nutshell, folks. It's fantastic. I actually love the diner's cards because you have the freedom to eat whenever you want. And except for the alcohol, you can order anything you want. It's going to get billed to Chad. And believe it or not, Port Hardy, it's a long ways away from any other civilization. There is some fantastic food to be had up there. Trust me on this. Tell me, is Sporty still open?
It is. Yep, it is. And once they get back to indoor dining, which is supposed to happen here shortly, they're going to be back up to full swing. So that's exciting for everybody.
Oh, absolutely it is. You know, and folks, you're going to, again, your breakfast and lunch are taken care of on board the boat. And I love your boats, Chad. They're Grady White's, very wide, stable platform to fish from. And I love the fact that it's just your group on the boat. You're not mixing groups at all.
No, we don't. We don't add anybody to anybody's packages. So when you book a boat with us, that's your boat, that's your group, your guide for the duration of your package.
And on top of this, folks, you know, the fact that everything's going to be taken care of in terms of all the fish processing, in terms of vacuum sealing it, it's all going to be put in coolers. It's going to be ready for inspection at the border. This is truly a hassle-free trip. And I might also add, it's still pretty darn affordable, isn't it, Chad?
Well, it is. And you got the exchange rate on your side on the U.S. market as well. So you save about 20% on top of our Canadian listed rate. So it's still very affordable.
So I need to talk about something else here, because it's literally been, well, let's assume we open up in July. That's an entire season and a half where a lot of people who do what you do have not been able to really operate, especially the lodge owners who rely on U.S. customers. Now, like we just said, your exposure is limited because you're working through a hotel, so you don't have to pay for a lodge, and thank God for that. But how are the lodge owners doing? How many have had to shutter permanently at this point?
Well, the majority of the lodges last year didn't open. Now, specifically, it would depend on regions, and I don't know the total amount, but the same thing is looking like it's going to happen this year. Just so much uncertainty to put out the capital to start up your lodge again, not knowing if the border is going to open in time. And for most of them, not having a May and June attached to their July and August really isn't feasible again. So I suspect that majority of them will not open again. Now, that's just my speculation, but I'm in the business, and I'm quite certain that it's going to be the same as last year. And so it was the opposite for us. We operated a full season last year from start to finish. And like you said, we're in a bit of a different scenario here where we don't have to have capital layout to the lodge. We just have our boats and our guides, and we get up and running, and we're ready to go. So that's kind of it. That's where I see it heading, and that's where I see all those lodges this year.
Well, that's an absolute shame. And I know that a lot of these lodge openers simply won't be able to survive 2 years of closures. I suspect there's going to be some lodges for sale, unfortunately, because of bad circumstances, not good circumstances, all related to COVID and the fact that they just can't operate in this economy. But I'm glad that you can. I love the fact that people can book with you. And folks, it's risk-free, literally. Pick a date in July. Pick a date in August. Give Chad a call. And we better give out your website first so people can do that. What is the website again, Chad?
It's Coastwide Sports with an F, coastwidesportsfishing.com. And you can get a hold of us. We have a 1-800 number. You can get us through email, and you can talk to me directly. I'll be answering the phones. And one other thing I'd like to point out, John, if it, you know, there has happened and is as predicted, because of the lack of fishing pressure, it's not just the lodges and guides. I mean, the U.S. used to bring up a lot of bring-your-own-boaters and stuff, and the lack of pressure in all the regions has made for what was anticipated just sort of a windfall of resource. I mean, there just isn't any pressure on it. So I suspect this year our fishing is going to be quite a bit the same as last year, where there's just ample amount of fish around and just no pressure. So that's the only positive that has come out of COVID.
Well, you got to throw out a silver lining, and that is it. Again, folks, if you want to make a risk-free booking, again, if the border doesn't open, you get your money back. Get a hold of Chad and just go to coastwidesportsfishing.com. That's the website, coastwidesportsfishing.com. I've been fishing with Chad and his guides several times. Top-notch operation. Have always come home with a whole bunch of fish. Have absolutely loved the experience, and so will you. The website again, coastwidesportsfishing.com. Chad, thanks as always. Have a good season.
Thank you very much, John. Appreciate it.
Quality and affordable fishing adventure is waiting for you off Vancouver Island with Chad's Coastwide Sports Fishing. Located in Port Hardy, British Columbia, you can drive or fly to your all-inclusive guided fishing vacation. Whether you're after big salmon, hard-fighting halibut, or a cooler full of red snapper and ling cod, you can catch it all here. Better yet, your lodging, meals, and fish processing are all taken care of. Want one more reason to go? The price. With the Canadian dollar exchange rate where it is right now, your U.S. dollar goes further. Space is limited, so go to coastwidesportsfishing.com to book your trip for an incredible fishing adventure.
Backcountry Hunters and Anglers seeks to ensure North America's outdoor heritage of hunting and fishing. Lend your voice to the fight by visiting backcountryhunters.org and join the 25,000 men and women who have pledged to defend wildlife and public access.
You're back with more of the great outdoors on Northwestern Outdoors Radio with John Cruz.
You know what time it is. It's time for another extended Max Minute with Max Luer. And once again, we are joined by Bob Loomis. Bob, always a pleasure.
Thank you, sir.
Bob, you are holding in your hand one of my favorite lures. It's the Rock Dancer. It's a jig that a lot of folks associate with steelhead fishing, but I remember going to the Northwest Territories and catching walleye and even northern pike using Rock Dancer jigs. It's one of my favorite lures. I've caught a lot of bass on this jig, too.
John, people don't realize it. You know, I've been fortunate enough to fish all over the world because of being in this industry for 40 years. And I tell people that if I had to pick one lure to proficiently catch fish from East Coast to West Coast, saltwater, freshwater, doesn't matter. If I have to pick one lure, it's kind of a toss-up between a jigging spoon, the sonic bait fish, or what we would refer to as a hair jig or like a rock dancer. It's a bucktail jig. A bucktail jig can emulate virtually any type of bait in any system. I can cast it, I can drift it, I can troll it, and emulating bait is what triggers fish to bite.
What's the advantage of the bucktail jig over a marabou jig or a jig that's got a plastic grub or trailer on it?
Well, it's roughly along the same lines as either one of those two. You get a little bit of movement out of the hair, the color. The buoyancy is one thing that's really nice with the bucktails because that hair actually holds air and is a little bit more buoyant than the marabou or plastics or something along those lines. But bottom line is it emulates bait, emulates some type of food, whether you're dragging it on the bottom, whether you're jigging it, whether you're running it under a float, whether you're trolling it, doesn't matter. You can emulate some type of bait with the colors.
And it catches fish. Like I said, I have caught plenty of fish over the years with the Rock Dancer, steelhead, pike, walleye, bass, and there's a lot of other species you can catch too. Look for the Rock Dancer at a sporting goods store near you. It comes in various sizes, and you can also find it online anytime at maxlure.com.
That's the sound you hear when a fish hits the new Sonic Baitfish from Max Lure Company. This metal lure can be cast, trolled, or jigged, and will catch just about anything that swims in the sea, the river, or the lake. The Sonic Baitfish has a unique vibration and flutter that can be rigged in seven different ways. With all sorts of eye-catching colors and weights available, you'll be reaching for the Sonic Baitfish as your go-to lure. It's the Sonic Baitfish. Only from Max Lure Company.
Go fishing. Help salmon and make money. You can do it through September 30th by catching northern pike minnow and turning them in for cash. Here's how it works. First, register at a designated station on the Columbia or Snake River. Then, go fishing. At the end of the day, turn in any pike minnow you catch 9 inches or longer and look for the ones with tags worth $500. You'll get vouchers for those pike minnow you turn in, and you mail those in for cash. Find out more at pikeminnow.org.
You're back in with Northwestern Outdoors Radio. We've got Sarah Dorenzo on the line. She's the public information officer for Wyoming Game and Fish. And there's been a lot of outdoors news coming out of the Cowboy State. We thought we would share it with you. Sarah, great to have you back on the air.
Thanks for having me, John.
So let's start off with wolves. The current count is out. It looks like numbers are holding steady. I understand there's a minimum of at least 327 wolves in Wyoming at this point. What do you attribute the population management to?
In Wyoming, we've been, you know, ever since we've gotten back state management, our practices are guided by our gray wolf management plan. And part of that is using hunting to bring numbers to our goal levels and reduce conflict. And we attribute a lot of the success in our management to that balanced nature. And we're getting to a point where, you know, the conflict trends and the population objectives show that we're leveling out in the state. And that's really good news for wolf management.
To me, it's very interesting because Idaho's numbers, they're all the way up over 1,500 at this point, despite pretty robust hunting seasons there. I assumed before reading this that Wyoming would have a similar number. Is it because some of the, well, for lack of a better word, some of the habitat you have in much of the state just isn't suitable for wolves and they're kind of concentrated in the northwest part?
Yeah, the wolves are concentrated in that suitable habitat up in the northwest corner. And that's really where we spend our focus on with monitoring and management. Once wolves get outside that area, they're considered a predator. And, you know, usually they don't last long outside of that space just because of their nature. I mean, wolves that move out of that suitable habitat are usually lone males on the move. And so, you know, we've really been focusing our management up there. And like you said, just not suitable habitat elsewhere in Wyoming.
Well, you know, if you ever get too many, I understand Colorado is looking for wolves based on the voter initiative they just passed. You can always truck down some wolves down to the Centennial State and turn them loose in Denver or Boulder, maybe.
Well, I don't know about that. But, you know, what is unique about Wyoming's wolf management, though, is that we have been able to, you know, recover the species and bring it to a point where wolves are doing very well. We have a healthy population of wolves and our conflict numbers continue to drop. And that does speak to the demonstrated success of, you know, involving the public through hunting and helping, you know, wolves just sort of become part of the ecosystem again, just like any other predator. And so obviously a goal would be no conflict, but as we see numbers drop, we're really happy, and we're happy to have the hunters help us do that.
Sure. Well, it's certainly good news. Let's turn from wolves to something entirely different. You had a news release out about spiny soft-shell turtles. I've never seen one before. I've never heard one before, but I understand that you've got them, at least you think you do, in one part of the state, and you want folks to report them when you see them. Tell us more about these turtles.
Sure. So spiny soft-shell turtles are one of the largest turtles in North America, and we're lucky enough to they have a range in Wyoming. And what we're asking folks to do is, in the Bighorn Basin, report sightings of eastern spiny soft-shell turtles. We know that they have a restricted range, and so that's why we consider them a species of greatest conservation need. And the reason we're asking the public to look out for this is because we've heard reports that in the Bighorn Basin that there are declines. And so we're taking 2 years to study that, and we'd like the public's help in if they see turtles to report them. And that helps game and fish biologists learn more about the species distribution an ecology of those turtles in Wyoming.
And folks, if you want to see a picture of a spiny softshell turtle, go to the Wyoming Game and Fish website, go to the news release page and toggle down. A very unique looking turtle indeed. Sticking with animals, this is the time of year where a lot of deer and elk and all sorts of other mothers have given birth, and there's a lot of newborn animals out there. And every year we have the problem of people wanting to save them because they think they've been abandoned. That's not true at all, is it?
It's not. Typically, if you see one of these extremely charismatic newborn wildlife, they haven't been abandoned. The mother knows exactly where she left her young. And oftentimes, if you see, you know, any sort of baby animal just nestled in the grass or even a bird on the ground, the mother knows where that animal is, and they don't need her help. They've been rearing young for centuries without human interference. And so if you see newborn wildlife, the best thing to do is leave them alone, observe from a distance, and the mother will return. But if you hover around the baby or you keep checking on it or even touching it, that could make it so the mother doesn't ever come back. So the best thing to do is leave newborn wildlife alone.
Now, there are some cases, so we'll say along the side of the road where maybe they were crossing the road and the mother gets hit, the mother gets killed. So you know it definitely is an orphan animal, whether it's a deer, elk, or otherwise. In that case, what should people do?
Sure. If you are fairly positive that this is orphaned wildlife, don't try to take care of them on your own. What we'd like people to do is just call Game and Fish, call your local game warden or biologist, and these wildlife professionals will come out and help the situation. It's illegal to possess wildlife, and so you don't want to be caught in one of those positions trying to do what you think is helpful and best, but you know, our Game and Fish wardens and biologists are happy to respond and help out in these situations. So if you do find abandoned wildlife that you know is abandoned or, you know, something tragic has happened to the mother, then please just give us a call.
You're listening to Northwestern Outdoors Radio. We're talking to Sarah DiRenzo, Public Information Officer for Wyoming Game and Fish. She's giving us an outdoors news roundup from the Cowboy State. One other topic I'd like to talk about, you've got a brand new interactive fishing guide. I was kind of playing with this, you know, looking for some places to go trout fishing right before we came on the air. Tell our listeners a little bit more about this.
John, this is one of the coolest tools I think that Game and Fish has launched in the past several years. This is an interactive guide slash map tool, and every angler who's planning a Wyoming fishing trip can find use in this tool. Most people who are planning a fishing trip, they want to know four key pieces of information. Where can I go?
Right.
What kind of species can I catch there? How do I get to the water? And what's the access like? And this interactive fishing guide answers all those questions. So say you're, you know, thinking, I want to go catch some golden trout. You can search for all the places in Wyoming that you can catch golden trout. If you want to do the reverse and you hear someone talking about, you know, all the time, like these little creeks or these places that people recommend, you can search by water and find out how to get there and what the access is like. It's really a helpful tool to get people just out fishing this summer, which I think is going to be really good fishing.
You know, it's so funny you mentioned golden trout. That's exactly what I was looking for, is places to fish for golden trout in the Wind River Range. So there's a lot of us who probably are Googling or using that guide to search for that very thing. I should point out, though, that in the past, you've had some really good regional guides. They aren't interactive, but you've got some online regional guides that also tell people where to go fishing in each of your regions, don't you?
That's right, yeah. We have what we call our day trip guide. So say you want to plan a one-day fishing trip, two or three, and you're headed to a certain part of the state. These guides are great for helping you plan out your trip and sort of plan out, you know, where to go, what you want to catch, and they are very informative too. Those aren't interactive. They're PDFs that you can print out and take along with you wherever you go.
We are out of time, but like I said, folks, all sorts of outdoors news coming out of the state of Wyoming, and I don't know about you, but I want to go fishing now for some reason. Sarah, always a pleasure to have you on the air and share what's going on from Wyoming with our listeners on Northwestern Outdoors Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you. come to Oregon's Wallowa County for outdoors adventure. Hike, ride, paddle, fish, or sightsee to your heart's content. And then visit one of our wonderful towns, whether it be Joseph with its beautiful bronze statues, our county seat in Enterprise, or one of our charming small towns like Wallowa, Imnaha, or Troy, where you can eat, shop, and sleep before continuing your adventure the next day. Plan your visit now at WallowaCountyChamber.com. That's WallowaCountyChamber.com.
Sportsman's Warehouse is America's premier outfitter and has what you need as a hunter, angler, hiker, paddler, camper, and outdoors enthusiast. They also carry an extensive assortment of firearms and ammunition you simply can't find anymore at many big box stores. On top of that, their knowledgeable staff is here to help you purchase the right gear so you can get the most out of your outdoor experience. Visit your local Sportsman's Warehouse store today or shop online anytime at sportsmans.com.
Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, a nationwide group working to keep public lands in public hands so future generations can enjoy what we enjoy. Join the group that makes a difference. Check us out at backcountryhunters.org.
You are indeed back in with Northwestern Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. We've got Adam Sawyer on the line. Now, the last time we had Adam with us, he was telling us about his book, 25 Hikes on Oregon's Tillamook Coast. He's got a brand new book out now that we're going to tell you about in just a second. But first, I've got to welcome you to the show and ask you a question, Adam.
Oh, it's great to be back. Fire at will.
We have had a hard time scheduling this interview because you've been out hiking like all day from early in the morning until late at night. Finally found a window where we could talk here. What are you working on right now?
Well, there are worse problems to have, I suppose, in this world than being so busy with hiking. But yes, indeed, I am in Idaho currently working on a new guidebook, Hiking Waterfalls in Idaho. And I just got underway. And so I'm really, really trying to get cracking on this and get caught up for lost time. But yeah, I'm sorry for being a little hard to reach.
That's okay. You have a very good excuse and consider yourself invited once that book comes out. We'll definitely talk that up. But let's spend a little time today talking about your brand new book from Falcon Guides, Best Easy Day Hikes, Salem and Eugene. How many hikes are you covering in here?
Oh gosh, I think we've got 8 in Salem and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in what I call the in-between.
Right.
So we've got Salem, Eugene, and the in-between. And then in Eugene proper, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 in Eugene, so we've got about 22 total.
Well, I love the fact that these are easy hikes to do, easy trails to follow, especially folks who live in Eugene. Like, we have a lot of listeners who tune in every week on 1120 KPNW, or folks that find themselves traveling to that area or to Salem. Maybe they've got business at the state capitol. Let's talk about some of these hikes. I love how you have them broken down by different aspects in terms of waterfalls. You've got crowded hikes. You've got best hikes for solitude. And then you've got your favorite hikes. I think I'd like to talk about your favorite hikes today. One of those, Silver Falls State Park, the Lower Loop. Tell our listeners about this, which is also a crowded one.
It is a crowded one. And you know what, John? Sometimes things are crowded for a very, very good reason. And Silver Falls just happens to be one of those spots. And I can't tell you how happy I am that the wildfires last year stopped short of that area, or at least that lower loop. And, you know, it may as well just be like the representative waterfall hike for the state of Oregon, as far as I'm concerned. Giant waterfalls, you get to walk behind them. The trails are well maintained. There's a number of great options in terms of loops and kind of customizable hikes that you can take for all levels of hiker and ability. And it might just be one of the most pretty spectacular scenery areas in the entire state.
Well, another one of your favorite hikes also involves waterfalls, but I do have a question about the recent fires. The Mackenzie River Trail hike that takes in 2 waterfalls. Why don't you tell our listeners about that hike and how it fared in the wake of those fires last summer?
Boy, you set them up and I'll knock them down, John, because you couldn't have asked a more timely question. I was actually down there doing trail maintenance on that very trail, the Mackenzie River Trail at Coosaw and Sahale Falls, about 4 days ago. Right before I came to Idaho, I was there with Cascade Volunteers, and it was actually part of a program with First Nature Tours to kind of go and explore some of the burned areas, but kind of learn about what's happening with that watershed and do some volunteerism. And luckily for all of us, that Mackenzie River area was spared. But we were there to do a little bit of trail work just because it is such a popular area and do a little bit of outreach and ask, answer some questions that folks might have. But it's still as beautiful and as accessible as ever.
So the next hike I'm going to ask you about, and again, folks, you're listening to Northwestern Outdoors Radio. We're talking to Adam Sawyer. He's got a brand new book out from Falcon Guides called Best Easy Day Hikes, Salem and Eugene, 22 easy to follow, easy to do day hikes. This one goes down as one of your favorite hikes and also one of the best hikes for solitude. I'm completely unaware of this location, the Basket Slough National Wildlife Refuge. Tell me where it's at and tell me why it's such a favorite.
Okay, so that one is a little bit west of Salem, kind of, you know, if you're heading from Salem out to the coast there. And a lot of people drive by, there's kind of like one of those just little pull-out kiosks there that says, hey, Basket Slough, and people think that that's all there is to it. But, you know, John, I've come to find that a lot of the national wildlife refuges in the Willamette Valley have become some of my favorite places to hike in this last year.
Right.
You know, I was looking for solitude. I was looking for, you know, just kind of wide open spaces. And the Basket Slough is one of the best spots in the entire mid to lower Willamette Valley for birding. It also has these trails, you know, some of them close seasonally, obviously, for wildlife. But there are some great trails that are open year-round. And one of my favorite is this wonderful little kind of loop hike around Basket Butte out to a little observation platform. And it visits one of the few remaining, I guess, native oak savannas in the Willamette Valley, which used to really just kind of be the norm, kind of running rampant throughout the entire Willamette Valley area. But now they've got a lot of restoration going on, and it's just a perfect, easy day hike that showcases some of the native flora and fauna of the Willamette Valley.
You know, it's interesting to me. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, they do some promotion of outdoors activities on the refuges, but really not a lot. And you're absolutely right about finding solitude at these places. A couple of my favorites are Turnbull National Wildlife Refuge, not far from Spokane and Cheney in eastern Washington, or the Columbia National Wildlife Refuge near Othello in the Columbia Basin. And you've got, like you said, great birding, spectacular wildlife viewing opportunities, and very, very few people on some really good trails, and in some cases, some of these refuges, places where you can take driving tours too.
Oh, exactly. And I'm enamored with them now. And you know, as a hiker, specifically, especially, you know, when I'm aiming towards guidebooks, the wildlife refuges were just always kind of under my radar. I figured they were more for wildlife viewing and not necessarily that great for hiking, but I was completely wrong. A lot of them have some really, really great under the radar, underutilized trails, and I'd really love to see more people taking great advantage of those, especially some of the ones you just mentioned, John. Those are great as well.
Oh, they are. Now, last category, and I'm really glad you have this in here, best hikes for dogs, because a lot of us like to take our four-legged friends with us. What's one that stands out as a great hike where the dog is welcome to come along?
Well, John, there's a few really good ones, and I always, you know, look for water access. I look for great shade, you know, things that are going to make Fido's endeavor and outing a little bit more comfortable and enjoyable, as well as mine. But another one that I'd never been to before, that's, I guess, closest to Eugene, I think it's technically in between, was the Shotgun Creek Recreation Site.
Oh.
And it's just kind of out there in the Cascade Foothills a little bit. I think it's northeast of Eugene. I'd have to check the map again, so don't quote me on that one just yet. But man, what a great spot. And I was out there, oh gosh, I forget necessarily what time of year I was last, but no one was there, not a soul.
Oh, wow.
And there's some great loop options. Again, you can make it as easy as you want. There's also, you know, ramps up in terms of difficulty if you want to include some of the upper loop options that they have there, but it goes next to Shotgun Creek, plenty of great water access, very loved and well-maintained trails, and some great mixed forest as well.
Well, this is fantastic. The last question is this. This is a brand new book. Again, it's Best Easy Day Hike, Salem and Eugene from Falcon Guides, from Adam Sawyer. And is it out in the stores yet? Is it available on Amazon yet?
It sure is. I think we came out April 1st for this one, so it should be available at bookstores, online, anywhere. You can have your favorite local bookstore order it. You can go online and get it. Anywhere you get it, I'll be more than happy.
All right. Well, if you do any hiking in the Lower Willamette Valley, this is the book for you. And one other thing I should mention is that it is compact in size. It'll fit right in your cargo short pockets or right in the glove box of your car. So if you're looking for an idea on the go, this is just the book for you. One more time, it's Best Easy Day Hike, Salem and Eugene from Falcon Guides, written by Adam Sawyer. Adam, great job on this book, just like your other ones. Can't wait to get you on to talk about waterfalls in Idaho.
Oh, thank you so much, John. It's a pleasure to be back.
Located in the northeast corner of Oregon, Wallowa County offers a unique destination rich in natural beauty and outdoors recreation. Enjoy the clear waters of Wallowa Lake. Take a tram to the top of Mount Howard for million-dollar views. Hike or ride into the Eagle Cap Wilderness and fish or raft the Wallowa and Grand Ronde Rivers. It's all waiting for you in beautiful Wallowa County. Plan your visit today at WallowaCountyChamber.com. That's WallowaCountyChamber.com.
Sportsman's Warehouse is America's premier outfitter and has what you need as a hunter, angler, hiker, paddler, camper, and outdoors enthusiast. They also carry an extensive assortment of firearms and ammunition you simply can't find anymore at many big box stores. On top of that, their knowledgeable staff is here to help you purchase the right gear so you can get the most out of your outdoor experience. Visit your local Sportsman's Warehouse store today or shop online anytime at sportsmans.com.
Go fishing, make money, help out, and have fun. That's what the Northern Pike Minnow Sport Reward Fishery is all about. From May 1st through September 30th, catch pike minnow out of the Columbia and Snake Rivers and turn them in for cash. Pike minnow eat juvenile salmon and steelhead. Each one you catch helps more juvenile fish reach the ocean. Pike minnow are worth anywhere from $5 to $8, and keep an eye out for tagged fish worth $500. Find out more at pikeminnow.org and go fishing.
Are you looking to reel in the marketing opportunity of a lifetime? Then set the hook, because we've got it right here for you. America Outdoors Radio has sponsorships available, and we offer affordable platforms to reach thousands of listeners interested in fishing, hunting, and the outdoors. Find out more by contacting John Cruz through his website at AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com.
We've got time for one more shot of Northwestern Outdoors Radio with John Cruz.
I'm glad you're back. I want to remind you about the Backcountry Hunters and Anglers annual rendezvous taking place June 3rd through the 5th at Fort Missoula in Missoula, Montana. You can go there and camp. You can stay at an area hotel, but be sure to attend some of the seminars that are there and the demonstrations, to include how to butcher a bison from B to Z, and of course, the famous campfire story time. That's always fun to attend. I've been to a couple of rendezvous. Can't make it this year, but I sure do love to attend them. Maybe you can make it. And even if you can't, you can always attend virtually. The website to go to register, whether you're going to attend in person or online, is backcountryhunters.org. And now it's time for your Sportsman's Warehouse Trivia Question of the Week. You know we love our national parks here at Northwestern Outdoors Radio, and so do many other Americans, but some parks are visited far less than others. Here's your question. What is the least visited national park in the greater northwestern states of Washington, Oregon, Montana, and Wyoming? If you think you know the answer to that question, the least visited national park in our region, go to our Facebook page at Northwestern Outdoors Radio. If you haven't already, please like and follow our page, and then go to the post thread and let us know your answer. If you don't do Facebook, you can always contact us through our website at northwesternoutdoors.com and give us the answer by email. By the way, while you are on Facebook, go to our sister show site, America Outdoors Radio. First off, like and follow that page, and then go to our Memorial Day Range Day giveaway. We are giving away all sorts of swag from Henry Repeating Arms that you can use the next time you are going to the range or plinking at targets on the back 40. We'll be giving both prizes away from both shows at the end of this weekend on Memorial Day. And one more reminder about Memorial Day has to do with Sportsman's Warehouse. They are having their Memorial Day sale, and they've got fantastic deals on all sorts of things, especially if you're in the market for a fish finder. You'll definitely want to get down there, but there's oh so much more too. Head on down to your Sportsman's Warehouse store. This sale ends at the close of business on Monday. As we wrap things up, I would once again urge you to remember the real reason for Memorial Day, remembering those who gave their all. If there's a ceremony that's going on in this emerging from COVID time near you, I hope you'll attend. And if not, reach out to those who have lost family members serving our nation. It means a lot. Until next time, do take care, God bless, and make it a point to spend some time this Memorial Day weekend outdoors.